What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, so it's that time every Wednesday now at 1 o'clock. We ask the simple question, are you down with Dana Brown? And he does an interview every week on the flagship, and he gives us lots of information, little nuggets. Sometimes it's meaningful, sometimes it's not.
Sometimes promises he can't hope to deliver on.
Uh-huh. You want to start with Fromber, Tucker, or Abreu today?
Well, let's start with the good, because they won 5-4 last night. Kyle Tucker had two home runs. Let's start with Tucker.
Is it good when it starts with currently we're not talking extension?
Oh.
Then Dana Brown goes on to say, we love Kyle Tucker. We have him under contract till 2025. I talked to his agent during spring training, but right now we aren't in discussion. We'd love to keep him here if possible. He knows we want to sign him, and his agent knows we want to sign him. At some point, we'll get him an offer.
It does feel like you got to wait until he stops having multi-home run games, though, to go to the table. Because now, Tucker doesn't just have some leverage. Tucker has all of the leverage.
Yeah, Tucker has MLB over-the-barrel leverage.
You're going to say, hey, Kyle, hey, we got a sick offer for you. Like the same kind of offer that they gave to George Springer.
Mm.
Hey, 6 years, $150 million, man. You should do it. You should totally think about it. Don't you want to be an Astro for life?
Yeah.
I mean, they got no leverage right now. So I can understand Dana saying that, though it is frustrating because, I mean, he is playing like an MVP right now.
Yeah. I just don't understand how when Dana Brown got hired, he talked about Tucker, Fromber, Javier, Altuve, Bregman. He talked about contracts. He's like, we're going to work on him. We're going to try to get him done. I don't quite understand why Dana Brown and the Astros organization continues to say, and just tell the truth, which I appreciate, that they haven't even given an offer. Like, are they even ballpark negotiating here? Like, is the agent saying, hey, if it doesn't start with a three, then don't call us?
Well, going back to something we talked about earlier this week, Joe, this is where I wonder if Dana is in control of the checkbook, because it does feel like the contracts that they've given to major league players outside of extensions, for the most part, have been like so outlandish that you almost wonder if there's a phone call being made.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero, Michael Brantley, and on top of that, you know, this year with Josh Hader, it feels like somebody else might be making those deals happen. And obviously Jose Altuve got signed to an extension, and Christian Javier has been signed to an extension as well. And you look at both of those deals, you think they're pretty good, actually, long-term for the Astros, assuming Javier is able to figure himself out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of me that wonders if for, like, a big-ticket Kyle Tucker kind of contract where there's no discount like Altuve seems to be giving you, or Caribbean discount like the Astros seem to get away with murder on so many deals like Yordan Alvarez or Christian Javier. I wonder if this one with Kyle Tucker is one that Dana Brown's actually even being given the ability to negotiate.
No, I would say no.
Because, I mean, yeah, like what, you know, we've touched on this before. If you're Kyle Tucker, aren't you looking for $300 million? And if you're going to have a 40 home run season, which he's on pace for more than this year, I mean, you should go and get that. I mean, there's a chance, like, if we're doing on pace, baseball season's 6 months. I mean, right now he could have close to 60. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not expecting that to happen, but he's on a tear right now.
Yeah, if you look at, I'm trying to think the best way to do this. If you look at based on current salaries, like there is not a lot of great names in the 2026 free agency class. Kyle Tucker is probably the best player, just looking over this list right now, of who would be available. Cody Bellinger could be available again. He's way better than him. Trevor Story, bum.
Yeah, these guys are...
Most of these pitchers are old that are available.
These guys are all washed up. Tucker is, you know, how old will he be when his contract's up? Because right now...
28?
I mean, yeah.
He'll be 29. So, look, you have Vlad Guerrero Jr., you have Bo Bichette, who are both good players.
But, both of them are not playing as well as... I mean, with Bichette, I don't know Bichette's numbers this year, but I know that Bichette is definitely not his dad, Dante. Dante was a really good player. And also, same thing with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It seems like he's the last couple of years taking a bit of a step back, too.
I'm looking at this list. Kyle Tucker's going to make $300 million. If he doesn't get locked up by the Astros, if he hits free agency and he walks into free agency with Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, Luis Robert, who's a good player but never healthy, Dustin May is a good player, like Josh Naylor, I like him, but he's not a $300 million guy. Kyle Tucker is going to get a massive contract because
thanks, Biden.
I really do think that this is the way baseball is going forward, is there's going to be one guy every offseason.
Yeah.
And then I think the rest of baseball has kind of figured it out. Like last year it was Ohtani. This year it's going to be Soto. And Kyle's going to get less than what Soto got if he hits free agency, for sure, whatever Soto gets, of course. But he's still going to be a hefty contract. And, I wish they would try to get it done. But they're not even trying.
They're going to be private with a lot of it with Kyle Tucker, you would assume, though. So maybe they are talking. I mean, and he's just lying through his teeth to us, and I guess that's the hope. But I think ultimately, if we're talking about Kyle Tucker's and a possible extension, they just have no leverage right now. So why engage?
Well, it's not going to get any better.
You're right on that.
He was plus 1,200 last week to win MVP. He's down to plus 700.
Wow.
All right, Jose Abreu. Dana Brown said when he was asked about Jose Abreu's return, potentially this weekend or early next week. He has arrived in Sugar Land. He didn't say that, but he's in Sugar Land. Dana Brown said timing and loads seem to be getting it right. Better at bats. Two AAA games, then take it from there. And then, but this quote's interesting, okay? They asked him if Jose Abreu will be the first baseman when he gets back. Dana Brown said that's a Joe Espada question. But I'd say right now, John Singleton is our first baseman.
Oh.
That quote surprised me.
That makes me happy.
It kind of contradicts what Joe Espada was saying, though, yesterday. Where Joe Espada said, we want to see the adjustments. If we want to see the adjustments that he's made, he has to play, right. So
that's the first good thing I've heard, it feels like. I'm sure we've heard some good things, but that's the first quote that's made me happy that Dana Brown said all year.
Yes. Yes.
Honestly.
Maybe I wonder if Yordan Alvarez will be your primary left fielder and Abreu is your DH. Do you take Chaz out of the lineup and keep Abreu and Singleton in it as you try to see what Abreu is working on? I wonder if that's one of the ideas that they could play
around. That's a good idea, I guess, if you have to play Abreu.
I don't know what they have to do with Abreu.
I guess. Obviously, you can play him a little bit more. And if Fromber's pitching, theoretically, if he's not giving up bombs, you could put Yordan in left a little bit more.
Yeah. He also was asked about, Abreu's playing time as well, kind of continued this. He talked about how platoon, he said, Abreu and other platoon players. So,
well, I'm down with Dana Brown right
now. He's kind of giving off vibes like Abreu's not your everyday first baseman. He's going to be a platoon guy.
Good.
He's going to have to, earn it.
He has
good.
To play well.
Yes.
He has to play well. Singleton just hit a home run last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Singleton's doing a lot more than I thought he would. And
his bat
flips
are beautiful.
They are fun.
They are so
now,
beautiful.
Now they're deserved. They're earned.
Yeah.
So, okay. You're not down with Dana Brown when it comes to Kyle Tucker. I think I'm kind of down with Dana Brown when it comes to Kyle Tucker, but mainly because I feel like they have no leverage. It's like,
I know.
Like the Astros can't ask
it's
out.
More like, I guess it's
they're not hot
it's
enough.
Unfair to Dana Brown because it's more like I'm not down with the Astros and the way they handle Kyle Tucker in general. Last one here. He was asked about Fromber. He said, quote, "It's already been addressed. We don't wait around. Pitchers and hitters both get off script, but it's part of the game, and we have to learn from it." That's all he gave us.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. It's short, sweet.
It's been addressed.
Sound full of BS. It's been addressed.
Don't do it again.
Okay.
How many innings Hunter Brown's going to get to? Over, under, 3.5. Three and two-thirds.
Here's the sad thing. So
2 2/3.
I saw the Space City Home Network for a second, and I saw an angel trotting the bases, and I thought that he'd given up a home run already. The game hasn't started yet. I mean, I saw on the TV there was an angel that looked like he was trot. It was a home run trot, and they had just shown Hunter Brown before, and I thought that that guy hit a home run. So literally 3 innings would be great. That's where we're at, dude.
We just got a text here from a car dealership saying, "Thanks for visiting blank blank, because I'm not giving you free advertisement. We'd love to hear your feedback, Sean."
Wow, Sean.
Mapes, are you using the company phone number?
More feedback,
to get fine cars?
What?
This car dealership is saying thank you to you for looking up cars on their website.
Yeah.
No, I haven't been looking up cars on their website.
I'm just curious. I'm just making sure. You know.
Sean's got a nice car.
I know he does. Nice car.
I like Sean's car.
I love Sean's car.
Now I'm very scared about my security being at risk.
Well, they're using the work phone number. They're texting. You're using our text line, so it's really more like one of our employees or someone gave the wrong phone number.
I woke up this morning to my iPhone saying that my security has been breached. I was like, oh no! Oh, great. It's like, here's 30 passwords that you on websites I don't even use anymore that aren't.
Yeah, that's why I just ignore those, because I'm like, there's nothing on those that's valuable in any way, shape, or form. One of my favorite pranks of all time was when Innes got fired from 790, he put the 790 call-in number on like a health insurance website. And if you ever tried to sign up for health insurance, they call you like 300 times a day. So like, the phone there was just like ringing constantly, and we were having to tell people like, "Hey guys, this is a radio station." Like, it was an all-time move that I very much appreciate. I think I'm mostly down with Dana Brown today. I feel good about Dana.
This is the first time I've ever felt, for the most part, down with Dana Brown.
All right, Donovan Mitchell to Houston. Kelly Eco of The Athletic. He's mentioning it again, the Houston Rockets may pursue Donovan Mitchell. We'll get into the next here. Broadcasting live from Highway Cantina on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Gallant George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
Gallant George broadcasting live here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from Highway Cantina. We'll be out here all day till 6 o'clock. The Bees will be here from 3 to 6 after us. We're crushing some chips and salsa right now. I just ordered a second margarita.
It's dangerous. Oh, you got number two.
Oh, yeah. I got no responsibilities today. That's not true.
Yeah, you have a...
I have to go get a cat today.
To get a cat.
But later tonight.
You have a wife. You have a son.
Yeah.
But no responsibilities.
Yeah, she can handle the kid.
You know what? At least you're not like most golfers, none of whom are actually good at the sport.
Mm-hmm.
At least you're using an appearance at a restaurant as an excuse to shirk responsibility.
Yeah.
As opposed to using golf to not do your job.
Fair. So Kelly Eco put together his draft guide, or his draft book, part one, on the Houston Rockets. And Donovan Mitchell's name comes up right away, that they're going to at least pursue the idea of him. You know, and besides just looking at the draft as a whole, like, it's going to be an option. That's no surprise. But the more we're getting into this, like, you have Kelly Eco, who I've known for a long time. I think he's a great reporter. Yeah, Brian Windhorst mentioning Donovan Mitchell. There's starting to be that smoke of like, hey, like maybe this is a real thing at the Houston Astros. I mean, the Houston Rockets might actually pursue this guy and use the number three pick and other assets to make a big deal.
Yeah, and I feel like you always got to be careful when that's the language, because the language that's there is the kind that you see when they are sitting back. If they're not aggressive.
Yes.
They're not desperate. They're not needy. They're doing what I should do as a dater. They should do that.
Okay.
Right? Sit back, relax a little bit. Because I think you want to let this situation with the Cavs play out a little bit. I know that there are potential other suitors in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that Dan Gilbert of the Cleveland Cavaliers would not want to trade Donovan Mitchell to the Lakers, but that the Lakers and maybe LeBron want Mitchell to come from Cleveland to L.A. to form another, I guess, big three over there. But you shouldn't get into bidding war over Donovan Mitchell.
There is a price.
Yeah, and also, Joe, I mean, look, I know Daryl Morey's not there anymore, but Rafael Stone, I'm assuming, has learned from history. I mean, he's definitely got to be a smart guy if he went to Williams College.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're Rafael Stone, you're looking at it through this prism. You're thinking to yourself, how do I get Donovan Mitchell the same way that James Harden came to the Rockets? Because Daryl Morey did not have to give up that much for James Harden.
No.
All things considered.
No. Now, James was coming off the bench, and, like, he really...
He had a horrible finals, but he was big in those playoffs leading up to the NBA finals against the Heat. He just sucked so badly in the finals.
Yeah. Look, there is a right and a wrong price for a player like Donovan Mitchell. I am pro-trading for him. But just as an example, now it's worked out really well for them. They're in the Western Conference Finals. They're, like, the second in odds to win the NBA championship this year. But when the Minnesota Timberwolves gave up 4 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert, what a dumb trade. Somehow it now looks like a good trade. But like, there's a price for Donovan Mitchell that is too far. That if there is a bidding war that occurs between you and other organizations, like there's a certain level of what you can and can't give up. Like, I wouldn't give up Jalen and Cam Whitmore and the third pick. That's way too much money. There's only a certain amount of Brooklyn picks. So that's where, like, it is complicated. He also mentions Brandon Ingram and Mikal Bridges. The more I've thought about it, I think it's more likely Bridges is a Rocket than Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know, though. Do you really feel like that's the kind of guy that they're going to go after? I mean, reading that Eco piece, it seems like Donovan Mitchell's the one that they'd actually think about, where the other options, I guess, as guys they could trade for. Bridges, who was the other guy? I forget off the top of my head.
Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's a no for
screw
me.
That. No.
What's interesting about Mikal Bridges and Donovan Mitchell is what you mentioned with the Lakers, that Dan Gilbert doesn't want to do it. And then also, people mostly expect that the New York Knicks are going to be the team that's calling the Brooklyn Nets the most about Bridges. But would the Nets trade with the Knicks? Like, would you trade your superstar,
probably
in quotes,
not
player across the street? No.
I hate that he's thought of as a superstar.
He's not.
I barely know who he is. But
he's just the best player on an awful team.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
There's a lot of players like that. Like, he's what Jalen Green could be.
And that's what they offered. I don't know. I the more I think about it, like, KD comes up in this, of course. That's what I don't expect, I will say. That's the one thing. I don't expect the player that they acquire to say, I don't expect the sentence to be followed by the Rockets trade for Hall of Famer blank. Like, I don't think it's going to be Kevin Durant. I don't see it. I don't think that even if a player that Paul George, I'm kind of backing off of a little bit, like, I don't think they're going to go for a player to that caliber.
Yeah, you're right.
Or that age.
I would like Durant here. I think a lot of Longhorn fans would love to see Durant here. But, I mean, he's what, 36, 37?
Yeah, he's old.
And it's not going to be cheap for him, no matter his age and his health and whatever you think about his future long term. Like, what you said, that Hall of Famer part, he's not one officially, but he's first ballot by default. he's been arguably the best player in the NBA over the past decade. Like, in the past decade. I'm not saying, like, over the entire past decade. But, like, in the past decade, you could have made a case a couple of years that he was the best player in the league. And certainly there's a lot that he still brings to the table. I'm sure there's an element of Durant where he wants to win a title as, like, the main piece. But you still need help. And you're not going to have enough, I think, to work around Durant to go far. You'd definitely be a fun team that is relevant nationally. And I do think that that side of things is something you got to consider when it comes to the Fertitta family. I think that they're sick of being a boring, no one cares about his franchise.
Yeah.
Durant changes that, even if they end up underachieving like the
Suns.
Like
40 wins to 46 wins? Yeah.
I think probably close to 50. I don't know. I
mean, probably. Yeah.
Maybe I'm overestimating it, honestly.
I did.
Is Durant giving you 10 more wins at age 37? No, I'm talking myself out
my
of
thing
it.
With KD, my thing with KD, too, is just, do you want to really be having the flip side of this conversation next offseason?
Which is?
He's upset and wants out. Like, I think that's the thing with KD. Like, he seems to be the number one athlete, maybe of all time, that can't be happy. Like, he left OKC, he left Golden State, he got his way to Brooklyn.
But he's never quit.
He left Brooklyn. He's just never quite happy.
Yeah, I think that is a factor. And maybe that means I want to go someplace where I can enjoy my life.
He's a different person. Like, right after he got traded to Brooklyn, he did the David Letterman show. The new version, like the one-on-one interview series that's on Netflix. And it was a really interesting conversation. But he's kind of one of those guys where he seems like a different cat. And I'm not really sure basketball, like, he loves it in the way that, like, a LeBron James loves basketball. And maybe that's why he's never happy. But he also is unhappy because he kind of tainted his reputation and his career a little bit by going to Golden State, winning there, and then not being able to get close to winning elsewhere. Like, I'd imagine he needs – I'm sure he feels like he has to win another title to validate his career.
Yeah, I would think so.
Without Steph Curry.
Especially that part of it. Yeah, that part, I bet, eats at him a little bit.
Eat at me?
Even though he said that it's something that would never eat at him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's eating at him.
Like, it's natural. It's human nature.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to – have accomplished something on your own in a sport where you're supposed to be competitive like that. But, yeah, I wonder. I wonder about this. I do think that if there's any trade, though, that's going to happen, Mitchell's really the only one that makes sense to me that I wouldn't be opposed to. I wouldn't do it, probably, because I'm not the biggest Donovan Mitchell guy, but I wonder what Mitchell would be like with a better supporting cast. He doesn't have the best supporting cast in Cleveland, though. Is it better than what you got with the Rockets right now? Is that a better roster top to bottom? Is it equivalent top to bottom? Honestly,
I don't think it's that much of a separation. They're probably better, but it's because they're older and wiser, I would guess. The other name I would keep an eye on, though, just from Cleveland, Darius Garland also seems like he's likely to be traded, their point guard.
Okay.
I mean, he's averaged, what he averaged this year? 18 points a game, 6.5 assists. He seems unhappy with his role, and it seems like if they keep Mitchell, he might want out because they might not be the best fit in the backcourt together. So if you don't believe that Amen Thompson's the point guard of the future, or who knows how long Fred VanVleet's going to be for this roster at that contract, like, will he play the next 2 years? That could be another one where it's a much lesser price, but another player like I would kind of keep an eye on. But I just don't think there's any chance they just take a guy at three, right? I don't buy it, because even Kelly's article talks about they're more likely to trade back. Like, I don't know. I put it low on the list.
Everyone's dumping on this draft.
Real
for
bad.
Whatever that means. You could still find somebody, theoretically.
I'm saying the worst draft in a decade.
That pick is more valuable as a pick than as a player, you would think. I mean, if you draft somebody with that, like, you're either I roster with a stud going forward, or you know, you got dead weight.
Yeah.
That pick, I guess, as far as its value before the actual pick, is really, I guess, the big question. Like, what is what is it worth? Like, are you going to be able to trade Jalen Green and a third pick for Donovan Mitchell? Because it's probably going to involve something else. And is there going to be something else
involved? And, like, how much more else?
Yeah, like,
because of the value of that third pick.
Yeah.
All right, when we get back, our 10-minute drill, what's going on in the league? We got draft locations. We got schedule expansion. We got a bunch of stuff to get into when we get back here on Glotton George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. May or may not have burped. Listen, Pendleton Whiskey is an amazing drink. I've told you about this a million times. Pendleton Whiskey is such a good drink because it's something that was forged in one of the oldest rodeos in North America, the Pendleton Roundup. I'm talking 100 years old. Pendleton Whiskey is also so good because of the way that it's crafted. It is, number one, made with the finest northern grains. Number two, cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood. Number three, barrel-aged in American oak. You blend it all together, and you know what you get? You get some damn good whiskey that's going to satisfy your inner cowboy. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's available wherever you get your liquor. It's available via Drizzly. You don't have to drive. You can just have it sent to you. It's refreshing, smooth, great pickup before Memorial Day weekend. They've even got a salute to veterans edition of Pendleton that you can check out for yourself. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition. Get some today.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, so Roger Goodell met with the media today, and he once again is talking about how he wants 18 games on the schedule. And he thinks that getting rid of preseason deals a fair trade. Now,
yes, I do too. I hate the preseason with a passion. It's the worst. It's not real football. Guys get injured when it is being played in these meaningless games. Everyone knows it's meaningless. You don't want to watch it.
Yeah. But do they have to add another game to get rid of it?
If that's actually happens.
Why can't they get rid of the preseason game first, go down to two, and then if they want to add, they go from there?
Because this is a financial issue. The NFL, if you get season tickets, you got to pay full price for those preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
The NFL looks at it as a lost gate revenue. Should it be that big of a deal? No, but if you turn it into an extra week of nationally televised games,
yep.
CBS, Fox, you're going to make more money. You just are.
Yeah.
There's TV revenue that makes up for the gate revenue that makes up so much of preseason sales. So I say do this. I know the players are going to be upset about it. Two bye
now,
weeks is not a bad
idea.
He did say
that the players will get on board. Like to do this, that they will come to an agreement with the players. That they will not just force this decision, which they technically
have to come to an agreement.
Yeah, sorry.
I
know. The way I said it
made
no sense.
You say they will come to an agreement.
Yeah,
so it's not like they're forcing it. Here's the thing. The NFL has so much leverage over the players. The players aren't going to be able to fight back against
this. Yeah, because they don't agree on anything. Like a couple years ago, like when they were not this last CBA, the one before it, everyone that was a great player got the same talking notes. So J.J. Watt and Aaron Rodgers and all these guys are going on national television and radio shows and talking about how they need to get rid of the franchise tag. Something that applies to about six people every single year. And that's the problem, is that the players who are at the bottom of the barrel in the NFL, they all love this idea of going to 18 games. They're going to get more paychecks. They're going to get bigger paychecks. Yeah,
going to play more, too.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Player injuries happen, you get to step in.
Patrick Mahomes might not like it, but he's going to be outweighed by the lower-level players in the NFL. So I think this will happen eventually, and it'll lead to playoff expansion and NFL expansion. And then before you know it, we'll be at 20.
it's a problem for the players' union is that there's such a caste system when it comes to players. I mean, there's quarterbacks, there's the highly paid wide receivers, corners, offensive tackles, defensive whatever, pass rushers or et cetera. And then there's everybody else. And then there's everybody else. And the guys who are just trying to stay in the league. Mm-hmm. And you're right to what you said. It's one of those things where because of all those people at the bottom who don't want to miss work, who just want to earn that paycheck, the Players Association is never going to be able to do everything that it wants. Where baseball's Players Association has always had a great deal of strength.
I wonder if the NFL players would do three bye weeks. If they like, maybe they would push for that. How would you feel about that?
To go
To go to 18 games, they go to three bye weeks instead of two. They skip. So you're off, like, let's say you're off, like, just as an example, you're off after week four, after week eight, and after week 14.
I mean, the season's longer. I would assume that there you would more make safety. More revenue via TV because if there's more regular season weeks, you're right about the more safety thing. If you have a situation where three games in 10 days are being played, you'd be able to mitigate that to a degree if you actually want to. But I don't know. Three seems like a lot.
It does.
Two should happen.
I just, when they talk about player safety, like, what is the balance? Because the things that they think that they're doing, the players don't want.
Yeah.
They're making the game safer by penalizing and finding the hip drop tackle.
Yeah.
But the NFL Players Association is saying this is a stupid rule. So, like, even the things that they want to add for safety, the players think is dumb. The players are the ones that are saying, I would rather get hit in the head than in the knees. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know how you fix safety.
You can't. It's the most violent sport played on grass.
Yeah. Micah Parsons not at OTAs, but he's training like a boxer.
I saw this. Yeah, OTA stories are here, guys.
Awesome.
Get ready. Get ready. Oh, my God. Stephon Diggs and Laremy Tunsil weren't at Texas OTAs day one. So Micah wasn't at OTAs day one for the Cowboys, but he is taking boxing lessons. Still got to say, like, nothing is going to be more intimidating than seeing Aaron Donald training with knives.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that video.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Yeah, I forgot about that
what
one.
What if J.J. Watt had, like, trained with, like, a battle axe or something?
Oh. And he flipped tires.
15% swinging a battle axe like a Viking. I forgot the lyrics to that song.
To the Fort Myers song?
Yeah. Are you ready?
What a great moment.
It was a great moment in Texas history. One of the best moments. One of the moments in Texans history.
Yeah, when you realize the best player in probably the history of your franchise forever and ever is a giant cheese ball.
Yeah, well.
Who we love.
The cheese addict in New York would love it. As she sits on her apartment floor and eats her cheese blocks.
I love that story. I just keep thinking about it. It's like, imagine someone like just like candles.
How do you get to that point?
Do you think she wears the Packers cheese head while she does it?
No, because she'd probably try to eat it.
I don't know how you get that.
It looks like cheese. It'll be my fix
like,
for
the
day.
I didn't read the full story, so I thought she was going to say, like, you know, like cheese sticks. Like the like string cheese.
Yeah, cheese sticks would make sense. She's eating just a straight block of cheese.
But just to eat just a block, it makes
cheddar
no sense.
Cheddar cheese, too.
And Parmesan? That's tough.
Parmesan, at least, is good. Like, that's Parmesan. The one cheese I always have liked.
Yeah.
Except for now, like, I can't really do it. Like, I can tolerate Parmesan cheese sprinkled on stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't like cheese, for those who know who don't know. But cheddar cheese is gross.
Pittsburgh is getting the 2026 NFL draft. So,
how many more Rust Belt towns can we give the NFL draft to?
Yeah, so it's Detroit last year, Green Bay next year, Pittsburgh the year after.
I mean, where are you going to go next?
Where?
What other Rust Belt towns are there? Cleveland?
I don't know, but
Cincinnati?
What about Houston?
I mean, the weather would probably cooperate this time of year, but you never know. Is it that NHL season?
I mean,
I don't know now. I mean, it technically would fall with the draft was. The draft was less than a month ago.
Yeah, so I guess it could be a draft.
That NHL season.
But doesn't it feel like now?
That NHL.
Now that you are an expert on derechos.
Derecho.
Is it always derecho season?
Honestly, Houston is always. Watch out. Keep your head on a swivel. You know, unlike that kid that LaMelo Ball ran over.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
No, you should. Because it's not about the kid's misfortune.
I'm laughing at Melo.
LaMelo Ball is just like a notably horrible driver. And there's people found it's. I love how the internet immediately found evidence of LaMelo Ball driving like a complete idiot in his car.
Leaving the parking lot every day. He's just whipping out of there in front of cars.
He's a bracho on the streets.
Justin Fields spoke to the media at ESPN.
Speaking of Pittsburgh.
Always competing is what he said. He said, Russell Wilson knows I'm competing.
So he's quoting Pete Carroll. That's a good way to troll Russell Wilson as you get into this camp. This I hate this quarterback competition already. I hate it. Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields. It's going to be so overblown this offseason because the Steelers are one of those teams that has enough of a national market to the point where you're going to hear about this.
But it's also
all OTAs, all training camp.
It's also a huge waste of time.
Why?
Russell Wilson's the quarterback.
You think so?
Yes. I think Russell Wilson will be a starter for at least until he gets hurt.
Well, guess
and then
what?
Justin's going to have to play well.
Justin's, he's not planning to sit on the bench, okay? He also said that.
Okay.
That's what I mean. This storyline
is... Good luck on the kick return team, dude.
You're so mean to Justin Fields because he broke your heart. Because he made you believe in quarterbacks again.
Yeah, man. He gave me hope. I don't know what my life's going to be like if Caleb's bad.
Joe, you have a
my life will be so much better if he's actually awful.
You have a watermelon mezcal margarita next to you. You have reasons to be happy. You have Caleb Williams, you know.
I'm a Texans season ticket holder.
You're in the honeymoon phase. You're just making out with the idea of the Bears having a quarterback. You know, just bumping uglies left and right. Just real frisky. Like, and you're enjoying this mezcal margarita.
Uh-huh.
Relax.
I think that's it.
Fields can't hurt you anymore. The killer bees apparently still can bully you when they show up 40 minutes late for a show. But, hey.
Yeah, apparently they didn't like my Fromber take.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't like them not showing up for the start of their show.
But, like, it's so funny. You know, they're so funny. Because I guess I tweeted it because they're too busy golfing to listen. Like, you agree with me.
Yeah, I think you should consider.
You look at the responses on Twitter. Like, well, I don't have a big Twitter account. Okay, we're growing day by day here, little by little,
brick by brick,
follow by follow. And everyone who replied to me agreed with me too.
Yeah, people online.
So guess what? Maybe Joel and Jeremy, you're wrong.
Jeremy Brandon, baseball expert, thinks the Lance McCullers contract is good.
Hunter Brown, first and third, one out in the third inning, top of the third, 0-0 Astros and Angels. We are broadcasting live here from Highway Cantina. If you're coming downtown this weekend for a game, this is a great place. The pregame, go to after. Or just come on and watch a game, too, as well. There's plenty of people here today for lunch and enjoying it. Great place to bring your coworkers or your boss for a great day. So highly recommend the Highway Cantina. When we get back, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Time to say goodbye.
To pregame shows, to postgame shows, to an Emmy Award winner last night. As they won an Emmy, they got canceled, basically. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros had runners on, or the Angels had runners on first and third. And pretty hard hit ground ball to Altuve. And Altuve went home. They called him out. They reviewed it. They challenged it. The Astros... got lucky there, I think.
I thought he was safe too.
But they upheld it. So there's runners on first and second with two outs.
Sorry that was loud for everybody.
That's okay.
I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to be an umpire.
Dude, I think you'd be a great umpire.
I would not be. I was hitting all the calls wrong.
I really just want to like... I just want to see, like, I want to see a dad, like a T-ball dad yell at you.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like, I want to see, like, I want to see.
You know what
like,
happened?
You're umping, like, a 13-year-old kid.
And then I would point it over, like, just like that.
I'm scaring everybody in the highway cantina. Can you tell I've had a tall Texan margarita? I think you can.
Oh, man.
I'm looking tahini. Yes, I would love another one. Thank you.
Oh, man.
What? I told you I was going to be lit.
I know.
Welcome to the Paul Show. Joe's babysitting a man-child. He's got a kid at home.
I'd rather hang out with you today, at least.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But you got the cat.
Not
yet. The cat's coming.
The cat's tonight.
Oh, it's tonight.
Yeah, I gotta go get him tonight. So we got some time.
You're out of here.
I will say.
Yeah.
Okay, walking through the store last night, it was a little more pricey than I thought it was going to be.
What?
But it's a one-time purchase. A lot of the stuff, the bed. Yeah, because my wife wanted like a little cat bed.
Just here's what's gonna piss you off: the cat will never sleep in the bed.
As soon as she's like put it in the cart, she put it in the cart, and I was like, That cat will never, ever, ever sleep in. And if it does, it will do it when we're not home, so we can't even see it.
Here's what you do. Next time you get something from Amazon, just keep the box.
That's what everyone said.
I'm not kidding.
That's what Dez told me, too.
Just keep the box. There are numerous boxes from Amazon that I have just lying around the house that Arya uses as, like, little beds.
So, inside the NBA is done. So, NBC, it sounds like...
That bums me out,
...is getting the NBA... They're going to move to Sunday night basketball. And while Charles might move over, because he's talked about that quite a bit, Ernie's for sure not going. And the status of Kenny and Shaq's contracts are up in the air. It sounds like Chuck negotiated in his last deal, which he signed within the last like 2 years, that he could follow the NBA if they lost their rights. But without Kenny... Without Kenny, without Shaq, no offense to Ernie. I love Ernie. He's great. Adam Lefko has kind of proved you can replace Ernie Johnson on that show.
He's younger.
But, man, just if Shaq and Kenny and Charles aren't there, like, it's just – it's a bummer. It is the best pre- and post-game and halftime show we have probably ever had in sports. It is – top-notch television.
I'll take you one further. There's no reason to watch a pregame or a postgame show after this one's done. This is the only one worth watching. They're all terrible. I mean, the NFL version, there's always too many people on it. The baseball version has had some moments where it's enjoyable. I actually do enjoy the back and forth between David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez when he's there, but I mean, they brought in Derek Jeter, and he was a wet blanket on that, too.
Mm.
It's so hard to create something that's fun and actually feels like it's a bunch of guys sitting around, even if they're all Hall of Fame kind of players. They've captured it. Everyone's been trying to recreate this for years, and no one has come close. And no one will ever come close to this. Whatever the next iteration of the NBA on NBC is, they will not have something that is just as loose as this. And everything should be striving to be this loose. I've always found it so strange that our industry takes itself so damn seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about sports. There are some people out there who have ginormous bamboo poles up their ass when it comes to talking about this stuff. It's supposed to be fun. And it's also not supposed to be all hot takes all the time. Sometimes it can just be guys roasting each other. Because guess what? The ins and outs of sports on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally very simple, the kind of stuff that most people who are watching something on TV want to get. And I think that it's never going to be recreated in any capacity for any sport. It's over.
Because part of it is that there's not enough people in the sports media industry that can handle what those guys do and say to each other.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even many... I think Charles Barkley is probably the only player that could be a Hall of Famer and that much of a disappointment in terms of not winning any titles that could handle the jokes that he's got. I mean, he gets beaten over the head with no rings by every single person he talks to, it seems like. Like, they all bring it up. You can't handle that. Just the relationship between those two guys, it's impossible. Like, to me, it has been the best pre- and post-game show we've ever had. And to your point, I will never watch
Do you watch any of them at all?
I watch not on TV.
I don't either.
I watch, like, I prefer gambling and fantasy football content on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
Like, I will,
that
like,
makes sense.
There are YouTube channels with way less followers, with way less importance than what's going on Fox that I find way more valuable to my day-to-day life on Sunday because I want to win my fantasy league or make a good bet. Like, I watch that stuff. I don't watch any of the NFL stuff. It's all garbage.
The NFL one, it is a circle, and specifically the CBS one, which is by far the worst. CBS's NFL production is awful. They don't have enough replay angles, so that always sucks in the middle of the game. And then their show is just one person talks, one person talks, one person talks. They're all saying different things. They're not listening to each other. They talk for a minute, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Fox at least has a little bit of banter among the guys, but this one took it to a new level, and it's bizarre that the people who are producers for these stations, the ones who are decision makers, it is crazy to me that they don't see that this is better than what they're putting out there. I saw today, Joe, I had on my TV in my office, I had First Take on or Get Up, yeah, or whatever the hell it is. And because I just put it on in the background to see what people are talking about. I don't actually listen to it. It's on mute. So essentially what
you're
it is
like,
at the
you're
gym.
Kinda like, you're like looking at topics.
It's at,
yeah,
the gym, exactly. Yeah. So I look up every now and then while I'm working. And it says that there's a three-part documentary about the embrace debate culture.
Why?
Debate culture of sports media. And look, we're a part of it. And honestly, it's great that that does exist because, yeah, we have jobs. So There's a part here where, you know, maybe we're shooting our careers in the head, if you will. But I just feel the people that make decisions have this very bizarre view of what the average person wants.
Yeah.
I think it's largely due to the fact that these people don't actually interact with humans.
Well, this documentary proves that, like this story, because their story is wrong. They don't even understand their own product at ESPN. Embrace debate is not what people want.
No. You just want
it's
to watch
Stephen
sports.
A. But Stephen A is the star. Like, look what's happened to Skip. He's a nobody.
But
look
even,
at Skip and Salisbury when they were doing cold pizza together.
But even with Stephen A,
yeah,
there's a point of enough. Like, we got to
for sure
with the Knicks stuff. When it's Charles Barkley.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe this is all Charles Barkley, but I don't know, Shaq works pretty well on that show, and if you want the one serious guy, or somewhat serious guy, Rockets legend Kenny Smith,
yeah,
is that guy for you.
I know, I'll miss watching him run to the teleprompter.
The thing that also gets lost, and I think ESPN has found this out the hard way with some of the decisions that they've made on the radio side of things, is that, you know, continuity's great. People like continuity. People have a hard
time
giving new things a chance, which is why
we've noticed.
Which is why, you know, when these new bosses come in,
uh-huh,
with their new ideas, they're generally not going to recreate this. Like, the ones who do stumble into this stuff actually stumbled into it, and they should try to keep this stuff running as long as possible. And honestly, I feel like someone should step in here and try to find a way to make this happen, because it is better for the greater good if this show continues. And it was always going to end at some point, but now
you wanted it to end because you wanted it to end because Charles Barkley was retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is too is they had a good succession plan. It was going to be Draymond. Draymond does do well on that show. It is where he is the most likable. Because
he's still Draymond, but you're
he's
right.
He's still Draymond, but he's like he's like
he's not kicking people in the nuts.
Yeah, he's kind of
it's mostly
like,
that.
He's got like Barkley-ish tendencies.
Yeah.
So
Barkley did throw a guy through a plate glass window.
Good point. So yeah, so I guess it's dead. That's it. Inside the NBA.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
We'll go away. Hopefully, NBC will find a way to get all of them, including Ernie Johnson, out of their contracts.
How long will you mourn me? I will mourn it forever. I don't think, Joe, that I will ever watch,
with the volume on, another pregame or postgame television broadcast.
Big talk.
Of a pregame show for the playoffs or anything like that.
All right. Who is the
Unless
Astros?
Unless it's Vanessa Richardson. Boom.
Good point. Or Kevin Eschenfelder, who's one of my favorites. Who is the Astros' best pitcher? Rotation, bullpen, your choice. Who is numero uno on your list? That's next year on Glant and George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5.
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.